This is Faith at Work, a cassette series for adults from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Missouri. Our course on the Lutheran Confession, Why Lutherans, concludes with this lesson. The opening devotion is conducted by the Reverend David C. Darleen, the coordinator of instructional media at the St. Louis Seminary.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That phrase causes us all to ponder. We all use it, we all say it, but how can we understand it? Martin Luther says, leave it to God to understand, since by my own reason or strength, I cannot believe. But we cannot use Luther's description of God's miracle in faith through the Holy Spirit as our excuse to neglect the importance of the confession, I believe. It is as important for others as it is for us. For those around us to hear us tell them of the center of our lives, Jesus Christ, those two words, I believe, are miracle workers. Confessing Jesus Christ is real and not merely oral. To others who hear us proclaim, we believe by living lives centered around the gospel. Now that you are finishing your examination of what we believe as confessional Lutherans, take these words of confession with you and translate them into acts for the Lord. The Lutheran Church, which claims to be confessional, cannot do so unless it takes its confession of faith out of the church doors, into the street, and gives it to those for whom Christ gave his life. To that end, I invite each of you to silently pray with me. Let us pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit to keep us in faith. Let us pray that God will continue to make us his instruments in confessing Jesus Christ to others. Let us pray for strength to live as confessing Christians. Lord, hear our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. The focus of this lesson will be to find ways in which we live as confessional Lutherans. Dr. Herbert Bowman has some significant remarks to make about a confessional perspective for living.
Why am I a Lutheran? That's the question we have been asking and discussing during these periods. Today the question is, how am I a Lutheran? Let us briefly retrace our steps. We have talked about the Reformation, the beginning of the Lutheran Church, and the development of the Confession, as statements of faith in the Book of Concord. the statements that express what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. We have summarized the content of the Lutheran faith, particularly in the Augsburg Confession, as the primary confession of Lutheranism. We have noted that the faith of the Lutherans is the faith of all Christians of all time, a faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a faith associated with our baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, a faith that embraces our entire life. We have discussed our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Lutherans see themselves as people born in sin, as sinners under God's judgment, as people who can do nothing of their own to escape God's judgment, and yet at the same time, as people whom God loved, as people for whom God provided a way out by sending his Son Jesus Christ to take our place, to redeem us from sin and death and the power of the devil. And as a result of this work of Jesus Christ, God says to us, you are free, your sins are forgiven, you are justified. And through the Holy Spirit, who comes to us through baptism and the Holy Communion and the preaching of the gospel, faith is created in our hearts which accepts the gift of God in Jesus Christ. Thus our relationship to God has been restored to what it should be. We are again his dear children. This also affects our relationship to our fellow men. We love them. We serve them. We help them in every way we can. We express our faith to God, which receives his gift, through a life of works to our fellow men. As a result of being drawn into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we have been placed into a fellowship of faith, the Holy Christian Church, which Lutherans describe as an assembly of the people who believe in Jesus Christ around the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacrament. Thus there is a strong worship accent in Lutheran faith. We have talked about subscription to the Lutheran confession. We have tried to determine what it means to commit ourselves to the statement of faith written by our fathers in the 16th century. To subscribe to the Lutheran Confession means to accept the content of that faith. It also means to align ourselves with the perspective of that faith expressed in the Lutheran Confession. And that means the perspective of the gospel. That means that we view our relationship to God and our relationship to our fellow man and our whole life in Jesus Christ. We also heard that this does not imply that every word in the Lutheran Confession, reflecting the political and cultural and educational situation of their time, binds us today. But when we subscribe to the Lutheran symbols, we do commit ourselves to our Lord Jesus Christ. We do give all glory and credit to God. We find our hope and joy and security in him alone. And we respond in trust and love and service. And now the practical question is, so what? What does it mean then for us today in the mid-20th century in the United States to be Lutheran? How do we practice our Lutheran faith and commitment? First of all, we have to look to ourselves as persons. we have to realize our own identity and our dignity. This too derives from the fact that we were baptized. Through baptism, we become God's children in a very special way. We are already God's creatures. Out of His fatherly goodness and mercy, God has given us our life. He has given us all that we need to support this life. He's given us all our senses and all our members, and He preserves them from day to day. In our baptism, we were also baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That means that we are not only God's creatures, but we are also the object of God's love. We have been restored to Him through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are, through faith, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, the dear children of God. This is our own identity. This is our personhood. This gives us a tremendous dignity that nothing else in the world could give us.
In beginning to develop our identity as God's children, what is the recurring focus around which we build? How does this compare generally with your findings regarding the confessions from earlier lessons? Perhaps these questions will spark your discussion as you stop the cassette for your first break. Professor Bowman continues to develop this idea of perspective.
It also imposes obligations on us. It elicits from us a concern for the dignity of God's other creatures beside ourselves. It causes us to care about them, to be concerned about conserving the creaturely gifts with which the Creator has endowed us. This also means that we manifest a cheerful and positive lifestyle. Because if we remember that we already have everything that we need for time and for eternity from God through Jesus Christ, we don't have to do anything to acquire these blessings. We don't have to earn our way into the good graces of God. Also, it means we don't have to despair in our sins. Even though we realize every day that we daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment, even though we realize that we can't do anything good of our own powers in the sight of God, we have no cause to despair because we have the promise of the forgiveness of sins. And so this means that we have been released from all worries and cares about ourselves. As the Lord told His disciples, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take care of itself. The Lord who watches over every sparrow will surely watch over us for time and for eternity. And since we don't have to worry about ourselves, we are released for wholehearted service to God and to our neighbor. As persons, as individuals, as children of God, Lutherans will live in constant communication with God. The Lutheran confession, Luther himself placed a great deal of emphasis on the prayer life of the Christian. For this reason, Luther included in the Small Catechism morning prayers and evening prayers and table prayers. He suggests that we begin our day in the morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and that we end our day at night in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Thus again, bracketing our whole day by our baptism and our estate as children of God. Beyond ourselves, we look to our place in our family. Here we deal with our marriage, our children, our home. The confessions have much to say about what a Christian home should be like. Call your attention particularly to Article 23 of the Augsburg Confession and the Apology, and Luther's treatment of the commandments in the Large Catechism, especially the fourth and the sixth commandments. From our home and our family, we also have our place in the church. We want to be intelligent, committed, informed members of the church. The major area of our participation in the church is our worship together with our fellow Christians. Again, our worship begins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Muslims recognize that when they worship God, they are doing it not to do God a favor or to acquire credit with God, but the highest form of worship they see as an acceptance of the blessings which God gives them through the gospel and the sacraments. And they respond to these gifts and blessings of God with hearts and hands and voices in gratitude and praise. Lutheran worship should be filled with the note of faith and hope and joy, because we are God's children in God's house, receiving God's blessings and responding to them. In our church, we are part of a wonderful fellowship, a blessed community, a community of faith, of love, of encouragement, of participation in the Eucharist, in the communion, of mutual admonition, of mutual burden bearing, of mutual sacrifice. We appreciate what that hymn means, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above."
How could you improve your lifestyle in the light of the message of the Lutheran Confessions? Read Article 23 of the Augsburg Confession together. Stop your cassette again here. We now move on to the larger community.
Beyond ourselves, our home, in our church, we are also in our community, whatever its size or condition may be. We are in a civic community, we are in a community with our job, with our business, our profession. And the Lutheran Confessions encourage us to be deeply involved in the affairs of our community, in civil affairs of all kinds. Again, we point to what Luther has to say in the explanation of the commandment in the Large Catechism, then also in Article 16 of the Augsburg Confession and Apology, Article 16. Lutherans should be the best kind of citizens of this earthly community, because we are fellow citizens with the saints through Jesus Christ. Lutherans should have a genuine interest in the problems facing their community. They should involve themselves. They should accept the opportunities that are offered them for the improvement of the life in their community. They should look beyond their own little neighborhood and be concerned about the welfare of the state and the nation as a whole. In short, Lutherans should be active in the right kind of politics. Sometimes people shrink from politics because they think politics is necessarily dirty. But politics is simply the art of civil government, and Lutherans have every reason to be concerned about its proper conduct and to be involved actively in it. Beyond our community, There is also our stance over against people of other church bodies that should get direction from our commitment to the Lutheran Confession. Do you think that other Lutheran churches, who are committed to the same doctrinal position as they are, who both subscribe to the Scriptures and the Lutheran Confession? Among the Lutheran churches in America, we do have fellowship with the American Lutheran Church, who regard this as a precious gift of God. Unfortunately, we are not officially in fellowship with other Lutheran bodies. Surely, we can't be indifferent about this state of affairs. We can't ever be happy about it. We should be filled with a deep sense of grief that in spite of our common commitment, we are separated. We recall that one of the objects of our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is that ultimately there might be one united Lutheran Church in America. In order to do this intelligently and responsibly, we have to get to know other Lutherans. We have to listen to them, find out where they stand and how they look at things. But we mustn't stop with other Lutherans. We have a responsibility to all other Christians as well. This is the great fact of the ecumenical movement in our time. When you look at other church bodies, Roman Catholics, Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists, whatever other bodies there may be, we have always acknowledged that these are Christian churches. And if they are indeed Christians, that means that they are our fellow Christians, because there is only one Christian faith, and we have one Lord. The Lutheran Confessions claim to be truly Catholic, that is, truly ecumenical, that is, not sectarian. Lutherans should therefore be in an ideal position to make a positive contribution to true ecumenicity. This calls for a sincere effort to understand others and the way they express their faith, to discover what we as Christians have in common, to discover and evaluate the differences between us, to talk to each other about these things, to bear clear and positive witness to our faith, and to listen to what others have to say to us, what we may be able to learn from them, where we have failed to live up to our Lutheran faith and our Lutheran commitment. And surely, all this needs to be done without denying our own convictions, and all in the spirit of genuine humility and love. We may not achieve any external results. We may not, in our time, see the removal of denominational barriers. We may not make Lutherans out of other Christians. But that's not our task. Our task is to live our faith to the full, in word and deed, in every context, in every area where we are, and leave the results up to the Lord and His Holy Spirit. In your final discussion in this course, try to find ways in which you can show your gospel perspective to each other, the world, and other Christians. Also, you may find it interesting to discuss what impact our confessional unity as Lutherans can have upon the entire Christian community. In discussing the topic of fellowship further, you will find our Faith at Work cassette course entitled Issues Confronting the Church helpful. Faith at Work is produced by the Office of Continuing Education, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Missouri.